Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I am Amy Ravel.
And I'm your other host, Kirsty Faruja. And we have a third mic in the room today. Who is it, Amy?
Chris Lovett!
Woo! I mean, that's quite the fanfare. Oh, bless
Chris,
you. Thank you.
Why don't you introduce yourself to our community for anyone who doesn't yet know you?
Yeah, hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Yeah, so my name's Chris Lovett. As you can probably tell by my accent, I'm from London, UK. Author, minimalist, simplicity coach, and currently someone with really big hair because we've not had the opportunity to go to a barbershop or a hairdresser's due to COVID. So, yeah, I've been listening to you guys talk about decluttering and helping people in your community and supporting people for ages now. And it's just a privilege to be able to talk to you about Discovery of Less and all the wonderful stuff that has come from that story.
We are super excited because we haven't had very many men on the podcast, as you know. We're excited to have a man again on the podcast. And I love British accents, all of them, maybe apart from Brummy accents because I can't understand them. But I'm really excited to have your
Is there anything specific you would like me to say in my accent?
I just like listening to anything that you have to say, so it's fine.
Yeah, she's going to record this and just play it on repeat in her car when she's, you know, feeling a bit lonely, pining back to the days when she lived in the UK. Chris, it's going to be your voice.
Yeah, except Croydon isn't quite the same as Ealing accent, so it's a bit more.
It's definitely not. The more comfortable I get, the more Cockney I get, just to let you know. So nice one, babe, and all that. Yeah.
Good on you, geezer.
Nice one, geezer.
So I've got a question that I want to start off with. One of the things I loved in reading your book was, first of all, and I know I said this to you before we hit record, but your writing style is exquisite. And so I think for anyone that is remotely interested in minimalism, intentionalism, simplicity, decluttering, organizing, making a life change should totally read your book. And I love the story where you talk about the attic, the storage space that you had in your parents' house.
Tell us
the story of what your mum wouldn't do and what was up there.
Oh, wow. Well, firstly, Amy, thank you so much for the kind words. Yeah, I didn't ever think that I was going to be an author. And like I was saying to you beforehand, I actually failed English when at school. So I was never set up to write a book, but that kind of decluttering your life and finding minimalism kind of brings a story out of all of us, and I felt compelled to share it. So but my mum and dad's home, it was, yeah, that's probably a story in itself. So we went traveling. So part of the story was that I sold off pretty much everything I ever owned, including the house, all the belongings in it, and quit my job and went traveling. And when we came back from traveling, my partner and I stayed at my parents' house, and it was only then did I realize how much stuff they had, like everywhere, in their four bedroom house that used to house me and my brother plus my mum and dad. It was only just the two of them there now, and they still had just as much stuff. And my dad would go up in the loft or attic and just throw stuff up there so it couldn't be seen. And I went up there one day to go and get some clothes for an interview, a job interview that I had. So I left a few clothes with them in a suitcase. And as I went up there, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff up here that I've not seen for years and years, and they've probably not seen or touched for decades. You know, bin bags full of old magazines and toys and all sorts. And and I bought some of it down just to kind of show my parents that you don't need to be keeping most of this stuff. And the classic line, my mum came up, walked up the stairs, and she's went, no, you can't go throwing any of this out. What is it? And it's just that kind of comedy moment. And I was like, that is the moment. You're like, you don't actually really know what's up here. But because it was the old face back with her again, it was like all of a sudden it was really important, but she didn't really know what it was. So there's loads of those types of stories in the book. And I'm pleased to say that my parents now are well on the way to decluttering their home now, so which is good.
So tell us about your journey into minimalism in several minutes.
I was almost like, you know the dreaded comfort zone, right? You just get stuck there. And I was there for most of my adult life. So I'd be working at the same company, doing the same job, living in the same area of London, and pretty much living a very normal life, really. You know, society depicts all these things that tells you you're successful, like you're supposed to own your own home, have a job, have a car. So I ticked all those boxes, right? But I still didn't feel like I was successful in any way. It was just drifting through life, waiting stuff to happen to me, really. And do any of you guys got animals or dogs or anything like that?
No, neither of us do. Much to our children's disgust.
So there's this thing when you have a dog, there's this thing called the stress stacker. So sometimes a dog will act out after small things that they've gone through. The same with humans, I think, sometimes. So if you get up in the morning and it's cold, you bang your toe on your bed frame, you go into the shower and it's cold water, and then you walk downstairs, you trip over something, and then you spill coffee down yourself. It's that last thing that really makes you go, right, that's it, go all Basil Fawlty on it. And that was it for me. There were so many little things that were happening in life that on their own were just quite irrelevant. But over a period of time, it got to a point where I was like, no, that's it, I've had enough now. So it got to a stage where I was like, something's got to change. And I was sitting in the middle of my front room and my living room, and I just looked around my living area, and I was like, there's a lot of stuff here. And I didn't have my why originally, but my why came because I was going traveling and I needed money to go traveling. And the only way I could get money and I'd get myself out of debt was to try and sell off some of the stuff in my home. Once I realized that I was actually selling off some stuff that I never really used, that is when I started to feel 10 times better. I didn't even know what the word decluttering meant. I didn't know what minimalism was. I hadn't even heard of it at that stage. But the less stuff I had, the more freer I felt, the more I could achieve. As I went traveling and my bag got lighter and lighter, the stuff I owned got less, that's when I found out that there was a word called minimalism, and that I was actually being that person and doing that thing the whole time. So yeah, it was a mixture of trying to shake myself out of the daily normality of life, going traveling, and then realizing that actually I could be so much more with so much less.
And Chris, when you actually went to the backpacking and did the thing that you hadn't done in your early years, but you did that little bit later, was there anything you really missed once you had just what you could carry on your back? Were there things that you went, oh, I really, really miss that thing? Or were you just loving the freedom of it and loving the fact that you could carry everything you needed on your back?
I thought I was going to miss stuff, but I never really did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never really did. And there was a moment when I was kind of going through some of my clothes and I was like, well, I'm really going to need to keep all these shirts, even though I hadn't worn them in like 7 years. but I didn't really miss anything. And I had a feeling that you might have asked this question, and I was thinking, is there one thing? And I can't really, maybe a hairband right now, because, you know, it's it's just out of control. Maybe that's the one thing I miss, is just my hair stuff. Yeah. But what about you? Did you guys, you know, do you guys notice anything when you went and did your decluttering the first time?
Not for me. I found that what I actually noticed, and I think you've been through a similar experience from podcasts that I've listened to you in and that type of thing, is it's once you get rid of, say, 75% of your things, that you think the last 25 is like the critical, I can't get rid of this. But once the 25% is all you own, you realise that you only need about 75% of that. And then once you've got that bit, you're actually, I think there's a story, is it in your book, or maybe it's a story that you tell, that you share, that when you were traveling and you did that deep dive in your backpacks and sent a whole lot of stuff home to go to an op shop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like that, and that made me think, like, oh, yeah, like once you do have less, you realize how little you actually need.
Oh, yeah, especially if you carry it around every day. Yeah. And like there was a pair of shoes that I, for some reason, just took with me and thought, you know, if we go out to a nice restaurant or go to a club or a bar, I might wear a pair of shoes. And I think I wore a pair of shoes once to a wedding and that was it. But constantly in my bag, they were digging me in my leg, in my back, as a reminder to go, hey, are you going to wear me or what? So they actually turned from like a comfortable footwear to a really uncomfortable part of my bag. And for some reason, they always shuffled around and managed to dig me in the back somewhere, almost like stabbing me in the back. Like, there you go. There's your own metaphor of these, you know, your stuff can stab you in the back, literally, if it doesn't get used or loved.
Even I went away for the weekend and I only packed like two outfits. I wore one outfit, packed two outfits, and I didn't wear the second one. And I came home and this morning I was unpacking and I was like, oh, look, here's a whole outfit. And I know it was the same for Emily as well, who I took away. So it is, even going away for a couple of days, I still packed too much and I tried really hard to not overpack.
I think we all do. I think we still all do it. I wrote an article about it ages, a while ago on my website, like packing habits and how we add an extra 20%, which is like the disaster. If there's a disaster that happens, whatever that disaster is, we're all good because we've got it in the bag.
Because heaven forbid we wear a top that has a stain on it from the sauce that you dripped on yourself the day before.
I can tell that. Is that from previous experience?
Yeah, maybe this last weekend.
What sauce was it? I'm intrigued.
I wore it for the whole, it was like an oil that had cut, we made homemade pizzas and there was like an oil kind of in the olive tapenade and it spilt on my top, but I had very intentionally only packed three outfits for 3 days and I was like, I'm just going to wear the top. Nobody's not going to like me of the family that we're camping with because I'm wearing a dirty top, so I just wore the top.
You can Photoshop it out the pictures anyway.
Yeah.
It'd be like Phoebe from Friends wearing that massive Christmas decoration on her dress.
Decoration on her top.
Yeah. Bring it back.
Yeah, maybe not.
So how did you discover your why, or when did you discover your why, and what, how did you discover minimalism along that journey? Like,
yeah, well, the why has probably changed now, but back in 2017, the why was money. That was, you know, the cold hard truth of it was I needed money. I was in debt. I mean, my partner in debt. And you can't travel without money, right? It's an expensive thing, especially if you want to go for a long period of time. So that was the why originally. And then it's evolved over time because it's just a better way to live, really. And, funnily enough, I discovered minimalism in Vietnam. This sounds really idyllic, right? So when you listen to this, this isn't the setup. It's all completely true. It sounds really idyllic, but obviously there's, you know, there's reality to it. We were in a part of Vietnam, just at the start of this huge mountain, and we were living in this eco lodge for like about 5 or 6 days, and all we had left really was our iPad. Luckily enough, the Wi-Fi was pretty good at that eco lodge, and we put Netflix on after having a day of exploring, and my partner was looking through what to watch, and I'm sure you guys are the same. I will have a certain taste of films and my partner will have a completely different taste. So I'm looking at all the action stuff and she's looking at Love Actually again. And it always takes about half an hour to come to some kind of compromise, or someone just gives in, right? So we had that for about half an hour, and eventually she found this documentary called Minimalism, which is by the minimalists. Obviously, I hadn't, you know, no idea what that word was or anything. And she said, oh, do you fancy checking this out? And I read the blurb and I was like, oh, okay, sounds really interesting. You set yourself up, get loads of snacks ready, cups, teas, and we put it on. And then...
You're so British. Couple of snacks and then a couple of Vickies.
Yeah, snacks, biscuits, cups of tea, even though I don't drink tea, I have to... I have to go with the stereotype, right? And we just put that documentary on, and then I started to connect all the dots and kind of go, ah, right, okay, I get it now. I can have a name for this thing that I'm doing. And these guys are kind of showing the way that it's been done before, and it's a thing, and it's a way to live, and a way to help yourself, other people and communities. And I was just like, now I can call it something. It's something that I can share, because previously it was just, I sold a load of junk. And everyone was a bit like, but why would you do that? what's the reason? Which I do sometimes get now, but now it's got a name, it's got a label, and I can almost hang my hat on that and go, you know, this is a better way to live. This is a lifestyle.
Yeah. And when people think you're weird, at least there's other weirdos too.
Right, that's right. We can all be weirdos in this big community together.
We are very happy to be weirdos with you, Chris.
Oh, bless you.
Cool. And so did that send you down the rabbit hole of minimalism?
Yeah, a little bit, which is how I found you guys. Because once I kind of knew that this was a thing and I'd kind of dipped my toe into doing it practically, I wanted to see what other people's perception was, hear other people's stories. And I felt there was generally more to it than just, you know, selling off a load of your old clothes. I thought that can't be just it, surely. So I found you guys, and I found other people like Joshua Becker, who we mentioned before, and Courtney Carver. Colin Wright was another guy who I've actually spoken to recently. It was his birthday couple of weeks ago, and then it started to bleed into my work life. And because I'd changed careers at that time, I'd done the kind of scary thing of ditching a job and a career that I'd been in for so long and doing something else and doing coaching full time, I then saw how much stuff people did at work that actually didn't really make any difference whatsoever. And I still do to this day. And I've probably got a meeting later on with with a team of people who are overworked, overstressed, overbusy, and probably don't need to be doing 60, 70% of the stuff they're doing.
It's such a challenge.
But just their traditional, it's just their traditional thoughts, ways of working, and probably a little bit of addictiveness to being busy. And that is how people find themselves working weekends or working, you know, longer than they need to be working, burning out. And so it started to evolve from then. So it's kind of gone into this whole big thing now. So it's not just the decluttering in of the material possessions, but it's also with the work, your commitments, and the stories that you tell yourself. So you don't have to believe every stupid thing you think.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that's so exciting. I'd love for you to talk more about that, because we definitely talk about clearing your calendar and decluttering your mental side of things as well. But that's where you, like, that's really your niche as well, isn't it? So hit us up, mate. Tell us more about how you're transforming the world through intentional living by decluttering people's work lives.
Hit us up, mate. I love that. I spot a lot of opportunities now where people can work less and actually be just as successful or even more successful. And I've worked with clients, you know, as on an individual basis, in a team basis, and in big organizations, where I will ask really, really simple but sometimes stupid questions, like, why are you doing that? Yeah.
Why?
What benefit does this have on this process? And does it really need to go through six steps? Could it be done in two? And it's quite a revelation for some people to realize that actually the stuff I've been doing for years doesn't really add that much value at all. It's just the stories that I've been telling myself which cement those, our own truth. So I've been working with a few people recently, individuals, around what is the truth and what is your truth. And these stories that we tell ourselves really impact our behaviours. And I've helped a few clients recently to really unravel some of the stories and some of the things they've been doing, even like the negative stories that they tell themselves that aren't true. There's so many things that they might have assumed what people were going to think of them, and that negative connotation then sits in our minds and starts to take over, and it pushes all the good stuff out the way. So all the amazing things that we've achieved in the very recent past become this tiny pocket of your brain because it's been overrun by negative thoughts that aren't true. You know, what are people going to think of me? Who cares? What if this doesn't work? I haven't even done it yet. So why are you even thinking? And it comes back to like that. There's a quite a classic picture of this circle, you know, the center of it being what you control, the outer layer is what you can influence, and then the outer layer is what you can't control.
That outer layer is enormous.
And a lot of people I work with, exactly, right? And we spend a lot of time in that outer layer. And I think once we kind of take our foot off the pedal, spend some time with someone to really talk about the facts, the truth, we can move forward. We can let go of some of these self-limiting beliefs and thoughts, but the issue is we're just too busy to do it. So I said to a friend the other day that 100 miles per hour is our own personal average speed limit, because everyone says it. Everything's 100 miles an hour at the moment. Or you come up with some other terminology that dictates how busy you are. So it'd be, I'm stacked, or I'm absolutely slammed. And some people don't have any words at all. So when I talk to them, they're like, how's it going? And they're just like, whew. And that just tells me everything I need to know that, you know, you're doing too much. So in the UK especially, there's a lot of people that are, we believe that there's going to be quite a big burnout pandemic once the actual pandemic starts to ease off a little bit. And so hopefully I'll be able to support people that are going through that.
I, on a side note, I was listening to a podcast just today on burnout, and it made me think of you, actually. And in that podcast, they talked about post-traumatic growth. So what comes after the stressor or the traumatic situation or the post-traumatic stress, if that is what people have. And I totally, like, I've been saying it for months that I think people, particularly in Melbourne, have post-traumatic stress syndrome after being in lockdown. And I think that will be the same for England too, for how long you guys have been in lockdown and various places around the world who have been in long-term lockdown. And this concept of post-traumatic growth was around that whole, like what you talk about in your book, and your life mission at the moment is like that whole, how do we grow after we've had that revelation that this is not how I want to be living my life? I do not want to be going at 100 miles an hour all the time. Or I don't want to have no words to even describe my situation at the moment. And so it was really like, I think it's perfect that we're having this conversation after listening to that podcast today. I was going to mention one quote. There's lots of quotes in your book that I like, but this is one that is kind of bouncing off that concept of post-traumatic growth. And you say, it took time, commitment, and the ability to look at my old life and admit that it was going wrong where I was wasting my potential. Letting go of the identity I had forged with all my purchasing habits and possessions was at first a struggle. Coming to terms with deliberately walking away from habits, routines, thoughts, and the security of a job, a home, and a traditional approach to life was quite a task. It took a lot of soul searching to work out what I wanted to do and how I wanted to show up for the rest of my life. No easy thing. And then you encourage us all to try it.
I've never heard it spoken back to me. Especially not in an Australian accent. So
I'm happy to do the audio.
I was going to say there will be an audio book, and I am looking for someone. And I think an Australian female gives my voice perfectly. So Kirsty, let me know.
Audio books. Audio books are always better when they're said by the person who's read it, because you do all the emphasis where you meant it, whereas you may have meant that whole paragraph differently to how I read it.
It's great. It's wonderful hearing it back, because I've stopped reading it now. Yeah. I've read it so many times that it's time for other people to read it. But I think you're right, Kirsten. You know, discovery of less, when it, hopefully by the time this comes out, you'll be able to go and get it on Amazon. It will hopefully be people's companion now, as we've all reached the crossroads, or we've all had certain levels of disruption happen in our lives. And especially being indoors for so long, maybe we have reconnected with some of the stuff that we kept just in case, like the old board games and the candles and, you know, books that we promised ourselves that we were going to read once we had time. And for some of us, time was given back to us, but maybe we didn't still then use the things that we promised ourselves that we would. And so now is a really great opportunity to reevaluate everything. You know, what is important in my life now? Is it still this stuff? Maybe not. A lot of people are actually considering changing careers now, because at any moment, you know, the rug could get pulled out, and what have you got left to tell your grandkids what you did? And, you know, so people are really going introspective with stuff. And hopefully this book will be a nice companion you can put in your back pocket as you go for nice long walks. And the it should be quite calming by the time you get through.
Especially when I'm reading it to you.
Exactly. When you hear it coming from you, Kirst, I mean, wow. I mean, I'm pretty much horizontal now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Love, Chris, too, is that in the minimalism movement and amongst those of us that are leaders in our movement, is every voice brings something different. The Courtney Carver brings, you know, knowledge about wardrobe and influence there, and there's everyone brings a different flavor. And I think that's what I love too about Discovery of Less, is that what you bring is not just about decluttering your stuff, but it's about the habits and the routines and the thoughts and the mindsets and the stories we tell ourselves, because that adds and builds to this holistic picture of what minimalism can look like. The question out of that is, what is it that you feel is missing or was missing in the minimalist story through those of us that are leading the area? And how are you wanting to bring your part into that?
Wow. That's a good question. Just a small. What was I searching for? When I found that this was a term and a lifestyle and a community, there wasn't many mistakes being made. So we were kind of given the end result, this clean aesthetic, you know, plain white walls, you know, wearing a certain color. I've got my minimalist uniform on, which is a black t-shirt, purely by coincidence, because everything else is dirty, right?
And you only have two tops, so you have to wear wash
which is not true, right? But it was a perception that I was being offered, or what I was looking at and going up. So is this the way that I need to live? And I think some people still look at figureheads within the community and they go, well, that is the way I should be doing it. Whereas the figureheads in the community are very clear, and they go, no, actually, you create your own version of less, what that looks like. But it took me quite a lot of deep diving to really understand that I could just create this myself. And actually, if I want to keep my Hawaiian shirts, I will keep my Hawaiian shirts because I have enough. And a lot of people just still talk to me, and you know, will make certain jokes about like how big my hair is, for example. You should declutter your hair. Should you even have hair? Even when I started to write the book, it was a case of my friends invited me to play Mario Kart. So they all downloaded Mario Kart on their phone and said, love it, are you going to get involved? And I said to them, no, because I need to start writing my book about minimalism. And they said, surely that should just take you a couple of hours. Chapter one, have you got rid of your stuff? Chapter two, what about now? Have you got rid of your stuff yet? End. So, and that was a good thing about it. There wasn't a lot of mistakes being made. There wasn't a lot of fun being had with it. There wasn't a lot of comedy. There wasn't a lot of reality with it. And that's what drew me to you guys, is that you made it fun. You made it real. And it was, you know, a lot of good storytelling and helping people. And hopefully that's, you know, I didn't want to be a cold minimalist who didn't own anything, who lived in a certain way, like a monk. It's great if people want to do that, but that just wasn't for me. And I needed to still be quite authentic with this new way of living. And so, you know, when you read the book, there is swearing in it, and there is some comedy in it, hopefully, as well. And that's just the way I am. And I'm not going to, you know, change my authentic ways to try and fit into a minimalist way, I'm going to merge the two together. So yeah, so hopefully that answers your question, Amy.
It does.
We've gone off on a right tangent.
Is that not what podcasting is all about? If you can't have a tangent on a podcast,
exactly,
where can you? I think your writing style even is different to anything I've read on minimalism. Your writing style is quite novelistic, even though it's your story, and it's a really colourful book in the sense that you are not trying to say what you have to say in the minimum amount of words. You're actually storytelling. And I think that Kirst says it all the time, that the stories are what matter, but actually the stories, when it comes to minimalism, allows you to be free from some of the stuff because you have the stories, and the experiences allow you to be free from the stuff because you're pursuing experience. So, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Oh, bless you. Well, thank you very much. It's nice to have a fan.
You do. You have one. Two. You have two.
Two.
You have two. Two. And another quote I pulled from your book, which, again, ties, and please, everybody, we did not plan this. It just happens to work this way. Here's another one. Let me see if I can read it as well as I did the last one.
No, read it in a British accent.
Oh, please try. Please try, Kirst.
No.
I'll give it a go.
No.
That's what we turned up for.
I'm going to turn it in. I'm going to do my really, really ochre Australian accent for you, which is even worse than any British accent I could come up with. So, no, I'm just going to read it.
You're cracking out even as you open your mouth.
Like the answer.
I am. I'll see what comes out. It could be a Spanish accent. Let's just see what comes out.
I mean, the anticipation on this is building.
I'm really one way from here.
Sorry, listeners.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Here's a quote from Chris's book, Discovery of Less. But minimalism and having a minimalist mindset doesn't have to be this big, weighty topic that is always super serious and poignant. The ability to look at our past habits and learn from them in a fun way can make it easier to focus forward and actually enjoy the process. Indeed, science tells us that decluttering is a positive first step to non-religious illumination. So I thought that fitted really nicely with what we were just talking about being fun and making it fun.
I love how you read it. It was brilliant. And my editor will also be pleased because he added that last bit.
Oh. I thought, do you know what? That's so funny because when I read it, I was like, oh, that doesn't sound like Chris.
Yeah. And that's why I had to sign off quite a few bits because I was like, that I would never say that. But yeah, you're right. The fun parts are the ones that are worth sharing. And when I go out, I sometimes go out and do speaking engagements and people want to hear the story, and some of the best bits that I get the most value from are the bits where I'm a little bit self-depreciated in a fun way. And so there's a bit when I do my talking about, I was clinging onto this Saved by the Bell t-shirt, even though it had like holes in the armpit.
You have just gone right up even further than you already were. I love Saved by the Bell.
It was amazing. It was the best show.
Part
of my youth. It was part of my youth. Yeah, I loved it. What else? And some of the purchasing decisions we made when we were kitting out our two-bed flat was we bought a sofa bed. But the main decision why we picked that specific sofa bed was because it had loads of storage. It wasn't comfort. It was just because it had three huge, massive drawers. And so I kind of relay those stories to people, and they're the ones that people can resonate with and go, huh, you know what? We did the same thing. Or yeah, my partner did that. And it's easier to connect with someone and connect with a lifestyle choice. There's a little bit of, if it's easier to accept and it's easier and a bit of humour around it, and it creates more conversation, and that's what we want, right? We want people to talk about this stuff more, whether it's physical stuff, mental stuff. We want people to talk about it more, and that's where you guys can come in and help loads of others. But yeah, hopefully they're really good conversation starters. I mean, the two hats story was ridiculous. How I spent like maybe like an hour packing my backpack ready to go traveling, and then got stuck with these two, a trilby hat and then one hat that I'd not worn in years, because I'd pictured this future where I was in a jazz bar or somewhere with my trilby hat with my little fake carnation in the side, and so therefore it had to come with me. And my partner sitting there going, of course, yeah. My partner sitting there going, what are you doing? And I was like, I've got to try and fit these hats in somewhere.
What are you like?
I love that. And yeah, and then in the end, I just had to let them go and said, actually, you know, they're not going to come with me because they're causing so much irritation and stress now. And
did you still enjoy the jazz bar?
Of course. Yeah, it was no different whether I was wearing a hat.
You know what I love about that story, Chris, is your partner at that moment had no emotional attachment to either the future of you wearing that hat in a jazz bar or the past, which was you imagining yourself wearing that hat in the jazz bar. And so your partner could come and say, this is actually the reality. What in the world are you thinking? And even as a minimalist, you were like, no, but this hat means so much. And it's so hard to be removed, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and that's it. And, you know, sometimes I still have those weird moments, but they happen less now. But, yeah, it was, you know, because to have someone else standing going, let's survey the facts and the truth again, what I was going to say earlier, you know, not the created scenario that you've got. Let's actually talk about the truth now. The truth is you're going to have a good time whether you're wearing anything on your head or not. That's the truth.
I love that you had to be told that, Chris.
Yeah, and we all do sometimes. We all do need to be told and to be able to think rationally, because sometimes it's easy to fall back into just-in-case scenarios and one-day scenarios. So yeah.
Or what will other people think of me scenarios?
Oh, yes. I'll be another few hours on that topic.
Yep. Always having a conversation on the weekend about that exact thing, like going and reminding myself, and this person I was talking to was reminding me, and we were talking about children and reminding our children that actually people think a whole lot less of us than we imagine they think of us, that everybody's too busy wrapped up in their own head and in their own mind to worry about what you're wearing or what you're going to be doing,
whether or not you should have been wearing a hat for the jazz bar. Well, that guy, I bet you he thought about packing a hat and he didn't, and now he's really embarrassed he's not wearing a hat.
Oh, look at that guy. Wouldn't he look so much better if he was wearing a hat?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. It's like, oh, he nearly pulled off that outfit. There's just one thing missing. I think it was a hat
and
was,
some really good shoes, but that you had to wear to a wedding that. He needs a pair of those too.
Is that it? And that's exactly it. Like, no one really cares. That's the, you know, no one really cares about how you look, how you, you know, things like that to a certain extent.
You know, the people who put their own judgment on us, we can also shrug off.
We can love them from a distance.
Yes. We can wish them well in their own journey of self-discovery.
Exactly.
Chris, is there anything we haven't covered that you desperately want to share with the Art of Decluttering community?
Well, other than, you know, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to meet you guys and chat with you. I don't know whether I shared, but, you know, you two are in my ears regularly, because when I go out and I take my dog Daisy out for a walk, I will generally listen to podcasts. And so I'm always listening to the Art of Decluttering and picking out some wonderful tips and just hearing what you guys have been up to, because it's such a distance, you know, it's such a different way of life. It's really good to get other people's perspectives, especially those in different cultures as well. What else? I suppose, you know, Less is Progress. So Less is Progress is the website. There's a 30 days of less free challenge or download or workbook, it's whatever you want to call it. Challenge. Yeah. Because when I started decluttering, I had no idea what I was doing. I just went with proximity. I was like, oh, that's the furthest, that's the closest thing I can touch and feel and see. I want to start there. But then over time, I then start to learn how to do it. If I was to go back and do it again, would I do it in the same way? Maybe, maybe not. And a lot of the questions that I get are, I'm overwhelmed, where do I start? And it's easy for us now with all that experience to go, just start anywhere. That's the easy thing to say. And people who love to give advice will go, just do anything, just start anywhere. However, sometimes even that is just a step too far. People need to be shown something first. And so that's what that's there for. It's free. So you can go and grab that and join the Less is Progress community. Discovery of Less is out in May. And thank you so much for reading it and supporting it. I love you guys so much. So hopefully that's a really nice story that people can read about Less and share it with their friends and hopefully get a little bit of motivation to embrace Less in their own lives. So, and there's other things you can collaborate with me on. If you want me to come and speak to your team or your organization, I'm more than welcome to do that. And we'll have a fun time talking about this.
Yeah, and you, if you want to get coached as well, you do coaching as well, don't you?
I do. Thanks for reminding me.
Thank Sometimes you, Zoom. You can probably do that anywhere in the world.
Yeah, well, that's right. I have actually. So yeah, it's been the client base has definitely got broader due to COVID, but it's all good. Helping people embrace less is something that I'm passionate about, and we can all achieve so much more, I believe, that what we're currently doing, we're just bogged down by our stuff. And can you imagine what you'd be able to achieve if you didn't have that dragging you back all the time?
In honour of having you, Chris, on the podcast, I have picked a review from the Northern Hemisphere that also talks about humour. I just thought it was... Do you know what? I'm making it sound like I spent ages finding this review. I opened two and picked the one that I thought was most appropriate, but it just happens to be from the Northern Hemisphere. And
are you going to read it out? Amy, are you going to read it out?
Oh, well, it's from Norway. Should I read it?
No,
in,
please don't
I
ask me to
it
do
in
that.
Norwegian.
No, you could not.
No, I can't.
And so much editing was required.
Yeah, Jared would not like
voice over artist.
How about if I read it in Amy? And this one is titled With Love from Norway, and it's a 5-star review. Amy and Kirsty make you feel like you are among friends in their podcast. Especially the last podcast got extra relevant for me as a mum living with family members who have ADHD. You guys give great advice on decluttering and address some important issues along the way. The podcast inspires me to keep our clutter under control with my family. Cleaning and decluttering is not only for mums. Amen, sister. You never fail to put a smile on my face when I listen to your podcast. Ready for this? You both have a wonderful sense of humour. Keep up the good work.
Hey.
Hey. That hey, is, yeah, Marie Escapes in a Book by Apple Podcasts Norway. So there you go. I don't think we have a great sense of humour, Kirst, but, you know.
Yes, we do. We are
so funny.
Isn't
that something that someone with a great sense of humour would say?
We're so funny, Amy. We crack ourselves up all the time.
What
and
to
thank
live,
you.
Right?
Marie, I love Escaping in a Book as well, and I definitely recommend Escaping into the Discovery of Less by Chris Lovett.
Oh, what a perfect way to finish.
Yay.
Wow.
So
wow.
Funny.
I've had so much love. Amazing.
My cheeks hurt from smiling. I can see Kirsty's cheeks hurt from smiling because she's not stopped smiling the entire time either. You can find links Thanks. To everything Chris related in our show notes. Chris, we can't wait to see your book hit the shelves and hit Amazon. We wish you all the success. We are cheering you on from down under.
Oh,
and
thank you, guys.
It's been a joy to have you. So thank you for... Thanks for emailing us.
No, that's honestly, it's been my pleasure. I was almost like, this is one of my life experiences ticked off. Now
stop because, it.
Like I said, stop it, will ya? How many times? No, it is. It's a bit like, you know, when you go and, you know, you're listening to people that feel like friends And then you go and meet them, and you know, collaborate with them and have a wonderful conversation. You know, what a great start. What a great start to the day, or end to the day, depending on when
it is.
That is
true. And it is our end of the day, so we are going to go, dear listeners. We can't wait to be in your ears next week, and we can't wait to hear what you think of Chris.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Right, okay. So outtakes then. After the show, Amy and Kirsty asked me to do a demonstration of rhyming slang. Right, so Amy, you didn't know what that was, did you?
I've never heard of it. I still don't know what it is.
You'll know it when he starts doing it. Yeah. Rhyming slang is describing something with a rhyme. So let's just say my hair. What I would use to describe my hair is the Barnet Fair hair. So if I'm saying it in a sentence, I will go, oh, I've got to go and sort out my Barnet Fair. Got to go and cut my hair. The classic one that everyone knows is apples and pears, which is stairs. Oh, yeah.
Not everyone knows.
Okay, not everyone knows. Everyone bar Amy knows that. Oh, where's the shop? Left up the apples and stairs. Nice one. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Left up the stairs. Yeah. And so that's, we don't all talk like that all the time, obviously, because we don't live in the 1900s. But every now and then we'll throw a bit of rhyming slang into a sentence just as a bit of a throwback.
Oh, okay. Have you got another one for me? I like this.
Yeah. So, a couple of nights ago, we had a curry. So that is a Ruby Murray.
It's like gobbledygook.
It is. I know, right? It is. It's almost like I can understand now.
So sore.
I can understand now why I failed English.
Give me one more before we have to finish.
Okay.
Is this a British thing or is this a Chris Lovett thing?
Yeah, it's a Londoner. It's a London thing.
East Londoner too,
yeah.
Isn't it, Chris?
Yeah. All right, what's another good one? All right, okay. One I still use quite regularly is...
Make me guess what it is. You just tell us the rhyming slang and we'll try and guess.
Okay, boat race.
No idea.
I use it in a sentence, shall I?
Yeah.
I've been out in the sun so long, my boat race really stings.
Sunburn?
Face.
Your face?
Boat race, face.
Wow.
And sometimes we'll even not even use game. Race. Right? So sometimes we'll not even use race. So what I'll do sometimes, it goes, what's that on your boat? And they'd be like, oh, maybe I've got to drop some oil from my pizza and it's all over my boat. Yeah, so boat race is face.
That's so cool. Now, Amy's like, Chris, let me tell you how Amy's mind works. She is going to go to bed and she's going to be like, and coming up with all of these rhymes, and then Elijah and Jesse tomorrow are going to have the pleasure of her rhyming slang.
Am I correct, Amy?
I watched Mary Poppins. So I'm a massive Mary Poppins fan. This is like the longest outtakes any podcast has ever had. massive Mary Poppins fan. In fact, Kirsten, remind me, I want to talk about Mary Poppins in our staff meeting on Wednesday night.
Sure.
And I watched a movie called Saving Mr. Banks, which is about the story of Mary Poppins becoming a movie. And I decided at about 10 o'clock at night while on holidays that I'm going to speak to Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews, and we're going to make a podcast together, the three of us, about Mary Poppins, and it's going to be like a six-part series. And I was up till I don't even know what time during the night, brainstorming on my phone about this podcast that Dick Van Dyke and I were going to do together.
I told you, Chris.
Amazing. See, I love the fact that it's six. It's been so specific that you've reached just six parts. Not just a series.
No. It's very specific.
Actual six-part series.
Yes. Yeah. It's like what we're going to go through. We're going to get Lin-Manuel Miranda to come in and do a little bit because he's in the Mary Poppins Returns, and Emily Blunt's going to come in for it. Like, it's in my mind. I've got Dick Van Dyke on speed dial.
Of course you have.
Yeah. So there's a little insight.
So well, that's there you why go, she was so, laughing yeah. because I was not very far off the mark at all.
No, you're
up until along. 2 o'clock rhyming yeah. slang.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, so yeah. So if you want to use it in a sentence and go, oh, I need to moisturise my boat. It's a bit like, well, I'm just going to moisturise my face. Not that I don't have a boat.
But I don't have a boat, and neither I don't have a boat that needs moisturising, but I do have a face. I'm going to try, and I'm going to see if my family just laugh at me. I'll report back.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Chris. It has been our pleasure, and thank you so much for reaching out to us last year. I'm glad we waited until now so it could be the launch of your book. So congratulations.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.